Nashville's favorite way to wake up. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery, with Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop, and Kevin Ingram.
The Zone. It is 7:01. Welcome in to hour number two of the Wake Up Zone. It is powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Have a little fun with instant games. Play the new April instant games with top prizes ranging from $1,000 up to $2 million. All you have to do is go by any Tennessee Lottery retailer and pick up the new April instant games today. We have our friend David Beauclair in the house. He is from the Nashville Post. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
How are you this fine
morning? I'm good. I enjoyed a 7 o'clock puck drop last night as opposed to these 8:30s.
7 o'clock works a lot better for us too. They just didn't have that extra time to get ready.
Yeah, they weren't ready to go.
They were not ready. Well, I mean, I'm sure they were ready to go. But that was woo.
Bucky, the thing that I said is that there was all this celebration about winning those last two regular season games of the year against Vancouver and Chicago, two teams that were not going to the playoffs. You know, they came from 2-0 deficits. Everybody thought, well, maybe they turned the corner. Maybe they're in their playoff mode. And the truth of the matter is they are extremely fortunate not to be down 3-0 or done. You know, remember, that other game went into overtime, even though they carried the play. An overtime goal and Pecorine not playing as great as he did in game three. And the Preds are calling for tee times this morning.
Yeah, it's been a funny series. And I think if you're the Predators, big picture, you're okay. By winning game three, you're okay, because you come out by doing that, you think, okay, we're in control of the series. And even coming back home 2-2, you're still thinking we're in control of the series. So they have a week here where they're feeling, or 5 days where they're feeling like we're good. We're, you know, they're not in a, oh God, we got to do something spectacular mode. Yeah. You know, they're feeling like they're just fine. Now that's big picture, small picture. You got your rear end handed to you last night, and you've got to figure out how to. I mean, it's only the fifth time in Predators playoff history they've lost a playoff game by four or more. I mean, it just doesn't happen a lot. To me, the troubling part of last night was they didn't mount more in the third period. I mean, they weren't going to win that game. You're down 5-0, but if you get 2 or 3 goals in that, you know, or even if you get 3 goals, great. If you get 2 goals, but you have a lot of chances and you sort of build momentum for game 5, great. I don't think they did that. I don't think they did anything to make the Stars come out of that game going, whew, I hope we don't see that team, you know, next time. And, mm-hmm. and that's where you start to worry a little bit. That and the fact that this team has lost 5 of its last 7 playoff games at home. You know, you go back to game five against Colorado last year. They lost that, had to go back to Colorado for game 6. They lost 3 of 4 to Winnipeg, and they lost game 1 here this year. I mean, that building is lacking some of the magic that we're accustomed to.
Well, the other thing, too, is the stark reality that, once again, Kyle Turris is building another unproductive postseason.
Who?
And he's getting some shots on net. I don't think he's playing as poorly as he did last year, but still, you know, we want to see the baby. You know, he's got an assist. Yeah, that's great. He's not the only one.
I thought he was a factor in game 1, and has not been. He's not been much since. It doesn't seem like. And I mean, we saw him get benched during the regular season. You start to think. Is that a move Peter Laviolette could and should make right now in this series?
And Dallas has been successful in largely shutting down Victor Arvidsson and Philip Forsberg. Last night, Forsberg no shots, Arvidsson one shot. Funny, Johansson had 8, which is atypical of Johansson.
Exactly.
But still, the Jofa line, if the Preds expect to get anywhere, has to do more than they did last night.
But, you know, Dallas has gone with the Ben Sagan rattle-off line. They've matched them good on good, which Peter Laviolette's always comfortable with that line. And the Dallas trio's getting the better of it. I mean, game three, Johansson, Arvidsson, and Forsberg played defense the whole night. I mean, they were locked in their zone, and that's another credit
to Johansson. He blocked two shots in the final minute.
Yeah, blocked six for the game, I think. And you know, that's another thing to watch for Saturday when the series comes back to Nashville. Does Laviolette maybe use last change to get away from that matchup and try to free those guys up a little bit, because they're just playing defense too much right now.
What is the Stars doing to the first line to keep them, I guess, stagnant? Well, they can play both sides. Yeah, of, I mean, offense and defense.
Yeah, they're matching. They're putting their first line out.
Are they better
against,
than us though?
They're as good or better. Yeah, I mean, Tyler Sagan's an animal. I mean, that's a guy who's the number two overall pick in the draft, whatever year it was. I mean, he's not a surprise to anybody.
Ben's a good player. Rad's a good player.
Yeah, I mean, they're just as good as Nationals group, and they're playing better in this series. There's no question.
But if you have last change, you're playing at home, wouldn't you go away from that matchup like that? Makes sense.
After these last two games, I think you absolutely have to, especially when you've got a line, you know, like Watson and Sissons, and you know, whether it's Bonino or whoever you want to put with them, you know, like go old school hockey, go bona fide checking line. Say you guys are out there every time they're out there, and you make sure they don't score. And I think, you know, because Watson and Sissons have been pretty good. Like, it's interesting to me what Austin Watson's return has done to Colton Sissons. You know, Sissons was a guy through all the injuries this year. He played different spots in the lineup. He scored sometimes and whatnot. And it's sort of like playing with Austin Watson. It looks to me like has reminded Colton Sissons, oh yeah, this is what I do. And I mean, he's been hard to play against a lot of times in this series. And so I think that's what I would do if I was Peter Laviolette. You know, you might say, well, that's a concession. We're not going to concede anything. You gotta do something to shake it up.
So that's more strategy then. So then we're getting our coach as well as our player.
Well, no, I mean, it's hard to get away from those matchups on the road because you've got the last change on the face-off, so the home coach can sort of dictate what the matchups are. And that's what I say if you know, when coming back here, every time the Sagan line comes out for a face-off, you make sure Johansson and them aren't done. And then once the Sagan line comes off the ice, then Johansson, Arvidsson, Forsberg come on. And, you know, you stay away from that matchup. That's how you do it.
And they were tempting fate going into that game in terms of not being able to stay out of the penalty box. And Dallas was only 1-for-13 on the power play. But last night, it was a conga line, to the penalty box for the Predators with stupid penalties, in my opinion. And the other part is, when the other team is faster and you're chasing them, you're going to commit penalties. And that's what happened. And Dallas took advantage of it with three power play goals.
Yeah, I'm with you. The penalties, you were sort of shaking your head. That's where you're going, boy, they're just not doing themselves any favor because it wasn't the, oh God, I'm beat, I got to do something to make sure this guy doesn't get a clean shot, so I'm going to hold him. It was loose sticks. It was just silly stuff.
The ineptitude of the power play is just so frustrating. They're down 2-0. They go on the power play. They have a chance to get back in the game. Doesn't happen. Late in the period, they're down 4-0. You know, maybe a goal before the intermission. It's 4-1. You got a little mo. You push back in the second period. Doesn't happen.
And that one late in the first period, I even hollered to Mrs. Beauclair at one point because she was cleaning the kitchen or doing something at that point because she was so mad. I'm like, well, Preds are on a power play and everybody's just standing around. I mean, it was one of the worst power play. I mean, we've seen it all year, but that was a terrible example of what we've seen from them. It's funny. The Preds have not been in this position much. Like I said, this is the fifth time they've lost by four or more. Two of them were in game sevens. The other two, game 5 to Pittsburgh. They lost 6-0. Obviously didn't respond well to that. Lost game 6, lost the series. The other one was game 5 against Winnipeg last year. They lost 5-1. Came back, won game 6 in a shutout. And, you know, so they did respond well to that in their most recent opportunity. So there's reason to suspect this bunch can handle this and come back from it. But bad performance last night.
7-11, the time here on the Wake Up Zone. We have our friend David Beauclair from the Nashville Post, and he is presented by the Tennessee Lottery, proud to have raised more than $4.8 billion for education. We'll have another special guest when we come back. Logan Ryan from the Titans is going to join us, so stay tuned. This is the Wake Up Zone, and Blaine's going to tell us about Eurofix.
Yes, if you've ever been frustrated with who've ever worked on your vehicle because you weren't allowed to go back to the service bay and talk to the technician to show them the problem, then you have to bring it back a second or a third time to get the same thing fixed. That's so annoying. Blaine Bishop here to tell you about Eurofix. Eurofix takes the irritation out of auto repair on European makes. Eurofix is happy to take you to the service bays and back of the shop, get to talk to the technician and get to know him personally so he can understand the actual issue of your vehicle. And while you're back there, you won't be, you know, it will be clean. There'll be no oil puddles, dirt, trash, or grime all over the floor to ruin your clothes and shoes, of course. And if you felt lied to by other repair centers, come to Eurofix. It's a place you can trust. You don't need an appointment like others insist. Just drop right on in. Eurofix provides you with a free rental car with every repair, plus a 3-year or 36,000-mile nationwide warranty on every repair so you drive with confidence. So for Eurofix nearest you, call 844-EUROFIX. That's 844-EUROFIX. Or you can check them out online at myeurofix.com.
.45 The Zone, 717 here in the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. We have our friend David Beauclair from the Nashville Post in the house with us. And by phone from the Tennessee Titans, cornerback Logan Ryan. Logan, what's going on this morning?
How you guys doing, man?
We're good. We're good. Hey, tell us about your event, first of all, you have coming up.
Yeah, I think, you know, people who are getting to know me and know me as a football player know that my wife and I have the Ryan Animal Rescue Foundation, which raises money, grant, awareness, help dogs, shelter dogs and cats get adopted. So we've been doing that for a couple of years. We're having our first big fundraising event Friday, May 31st at the Bell Tower in Nashville. And that's going to be a tasting event. I'm having 15 of my favorite Nashville restaurants, some of the top restaurants around here, to cook a bite to eat. And you can buy a ticket, walk around, eat at all 15 restaurants, just an appetizer portion so you won't get too stuffed, hopefully. And there'll be open bar, there'll be wine tasting areas where you can taste some of my favorite wines, some food. There'll be some bourbon to be tasted for the VIP ticket owners. And there'll be a lot of silent auction items, a lot of autographed jerseys and cleats from my New England teammates, from my Tennessee teammates, Predators items, and a lot of sports items and things like that. And there'll be some live auction experiences as well. Marcus Mariota will be judging the food, Kevin Byard, Ben Jones, Kathy Bissell, the Bissell Vacuum, Bissell Pet Foundation, and another friend of mine, Maite Garcia, who owns a animal rescue as well. So it should be a fun night. I'm combining a lot of things I love, which is raising money for animals, being around some of the fans, some of these Nashville people, food and wine, which I love to do. And I have to mention the Bissell Pet Foundation for being a huge sponsor. And Gary Ashton of Ashton Realty, who's also a huge fan, a huge sponsor of mine, to help me pull it off. So it should be a fun night, and I encourage people to show up. Tickets are going fast. You can get them at my website, RyanAnimalFoundation.org, or any of my social medias, Logan Ryan, Real Logan Ryan, or RARP Instagram. And all the tickets are selling pretty quickly, so I encourage people to grab one because they are limited. Space is limited.
And I don't know if there'd be any dogs there, but do you have to keep them on a short leash with that much food around?
Yeah, this is the one event I'll probably have with no dogs here. This is 21 and over, adults only, some eating, some drinking, and some bidding. And honestly, all the proceeds, 100% of them are going to go to my foundation, which is going to go directly to these shelters and help promote and adopt these dogs out. And, you know, I've been doing this for a few years, and I'm fortunate enough to understand to use my platform to do, you know, for a bigger cause. And I've donated well over $100,000 of my own money. And we're growing so fast. I want to raise as much funds as possible to do even more of that.
Oh, man. Logan, I have to ask you, where does passion for dogs and cats and everything else, I guess, start with you. And you seem so heartfelt in this foundation and everything else. I guess tell us where it started.
Yeah, you know, I always grew up having pets. Like, you know, I was always a dog person and had all types of animals in the house growing up, which unfortunately my parents allowed me to have. But my wife, man, she really is the driving force of this thing. And when I got drafted to New England and was playing in big games, she was working at an animal shelter. That's what she chose to do. We went to college together. She didn't want any of my money, so I married that woman. And she worked at an animal shelter, and I would hang out with her on my off days there and walk some of these dogs. And I saw the need and the issue for some of these animals being walked by and being a little bit forgotten and being there for a long time. So I started promoting the animals, and it kind of grew into this foundation now. So my wife, she's an animal behaviorist. She trains animals for a living.
Oh.
And she really donated a lot of volunteer hours, but also worked there. And I see how underpaid those people are. I see the shelter world. I see, you know, people do it for, people have a great heart who do that full time for a job. They don't make a lot of money doing it, but if it wasn't for them, a lot of these animals wouldn't be around.
Logan, as far as on the football side, it seems like a nice comfort level with you guys and Dean Pease. Why did it work so well, and how happy were you guys to see him come back for another year?
I'm personally super excited. I mean, Dean, he's been around a long time. He's coached Super Bowl defenses. He's coached some of the greatest players of all time, Hall of Fame defenders in the secondary at every single level of the defense. He's a great person to play for. He cares about you. And you just recognize it. You recognize how his due diligence, how early he's in the building. At his age, he's been doing it for so long, and he's still willing to learn and willing to adapt from game to game. And I think that's what you need to do. I think a lot of these offenses are adapting every single year and every single game. And I think we adapt. We're a game plan defense. We change what we do, and that gives you the best chance to win and gives you the best chance to make plays. So we're really excited because, you know, it's another year in the system. We saw the success we had the first year learning completely new defense, which is very much couldn't be any different than Dick LeBeau's defense, who's great in his own right. So completely two different defenses. We had success in the first year, and we're just excited to come back to play for a guy like Dean, who got healthy and put the time in to make sure that, you know, he's willing to lay it all on the line, honestly. You know, when you're that old and you have that much success, and to have a health scare like that last year and to come back and show you what he thinks about, you know, this team and this place, because he doesn't have to do it. So we're extremely honored and grateful, and we're going to, you know, play hard for him and learn each and every day that he's willing to be here.
Our guest is Logan Ryan from the Tennessee Titans.
Logan, what about when you talk about the Titans, 9-7 last year, and Mike Vrabel saying, you know, we've got to get from 9-7 out of that pack. How do you go from good to great? You were on Patriots teams that were championship teams. How did the Titans, you know, climb not only into the playoffs, but among the elite class?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. From being a former Patriot, you never look that far ahead. So my answer is going to be someone like that. But I think it comes down to trust. Like we said, last year we had a completely new regime, and we had to come come learn under Mike Vrabel, and probably 90% of our coaches were brand new. Probably 90% of our scheme was completely new. So you just had to learn that. And I think Blaine will attest for it. Sometimes it takes time. And we had success in that year. I mean, with the amount of injuries we might have had and all that, for guys to keep stepping up and performing with Delaney going down, with Marcus playing through everything that we saw him play through, and me going down at the end of the year, guys came in, and we still, you know, we won four of our last five games. Whatever position you're in, you got to play well at the end of the year. We won four of our last five. We needed to win five of our last five. So what do? We come back and we go to work. We go to work, and we got to trust one another. We got to trust the coaches, and we got to lay it all on the line. I know as a secondary, we want to be elite. I think we're a good secondary. We obviously want to be a great secondary. We got every starter returning and our depth. So we just got to take the next step in just holding guys being consistent to the details and holding guys accountable. And it's okay to challenge each other. We got a lot of great secondary players. So I know in our group, we're trying to challenge each other to all be, you know, the best at our position, which we feel like we can be.
Yeah, I completely agree there, Logan. Chemistry is underrated. And then getting to know the scheme and system, getting comfortable as an athlete. But I guess, how is your health? Because I firmly believe you're a key cog in the actual defense and its success.
I appreciate that, Blaine. I obviously looked up to you as a player. It was great watching you playing as Tennessee Titans defensive player. Who we're chasing, we're trying to chase your secondary numbers, which you guys did.
Yeah, Blaine played a long time ago.
I think you guys are going to get that, for sure.
Yeah, they throw the ball a little more nowadays, so it's a little harder. But you know, we got those numbers on our board. We're trying to chase you guys to be the best, you know, franchise leaders in that area. But, you know, a broken leg is unfortunate. I'm going to continue to do what I do, which is be the first one in the building every day, work extremely hard, share the information. I watch a lot of film. I take my job as a professional football player really serious. And I just try to share the information around me to the other guys, do a better job communicating in that sense. But my health is great, man. One thing about me, anytime you have an injury, it allows you to show your true colors. And I'm a fighter. I came in this league fighting, you know, every single day. Nothing was handed to me. And I'm going to continue to do that, rehab the leg the best I can, and trust the doctors, trust the team. And, you know, when it's time to go and it's ready to go to training camp and the season, I'll be ready to go. And I think I'll be better, honestly. I think it gives me a chance to improve some things in my game and take some time to get my body right to play a full season and do a full stretch plus more.
Logan, you said Monday that it'll be worth people's while if they – Mike, you and Julian Edelman during the joint workouts with the Patriots. I'm curious, does he start the chatter and get under your skin, or do you start the chatter and get under his skin?
We know each other so well, man. He's an extremely gritty, scrappy player, and I'm very physical in the same way, and I think we're both agitators. And I have so much respect for him because relentless is the word. I mean, you talk about a story. Everyone knows his story now, and he's a guy that, you know, changed positions, and people shouldn't know his story, but he made sure everyone does because of how he plays. But that's how he practices, and that's how I practice against him. So we've done that for 4 years. We had tremendous success together. But he's always talking, and I just don't have it, and I talk right back with him. So I know how to get under his skin. He knows how to get under mine. So every time we practice or play or anything like that, it's always entertaining. And, you know, so that's why I tell people I hope they mic it up because I can imagine what we're going to do. And we have two, three days to go against each other in a row now on different teams. But it'll be fun, man. He's one of the best in the league at what he does, man. And he just got it out the mud. So I got a tremendous amount of respect for him. And that's why I got to talk so much to make sure he doesn't feel that.
Logan, we'll let you roll. All the best with your event coming up, the food tasting. Sounds like a lot of fun. Give people the details where they can find the info on it.
Yeah, the Chow Down. It's the event. It's limited tickets, so I encourage people to check it out. And they can get it. Look at my website, RyanAnimalFoundation.org, on my Instagram, Logan Ryan, at Logan Ryan, or at my foundation Instagram, RARF. So check it out. And I hope to see everybody there, man. It'd really be a good event. And I'm planning it all, and I think it'll be a lot of good food, a lot of good wine, a lot of good stuff to taste, a lot of good auction items. So I hope people can support it and go check it out.
Have a good day. Thanks for the time this morning.
Appreciate it. All right. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you. Titans cornerback Logan Ryan joining us here on the Wake Up Zone. Our friend David Beauclair is also in the house from the Nashville Post. He is presented by the Tennessee Lottery. I have more of David coming up. Our Twitter poll this morning: were the Titans disrespected by being given only one primetime game? Yes, no, or whatever. You can vote at WUZ 104.5. More of the Wake Up Zone up next. This is 104.5 The Zone. 104.5 The Zone, the Wake Up Zone, 7:35 the time. Welcome back. Got our friend David Beauclair with us from the Nashville Post. He is presented by the Tennessee Lottery, and our show is powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer. Have some fun with instant games today. 615-737-1045 and on Twitter at WUZ1045. That's where you can find our Twitter poll this morning where the Titans disrespected by being given only one primetime game. You can vote there. What do you think, David?
Should we be playing the disrespect card? I was a little surprised based on Derrick Henry was big news at the end of last year. And, to me, he's one of those stars that I would think the league would want to highlight a little bit. But I guess they want to see it from him more consistently before they, they actually bank on putting them on TV. But to me, the thing that jumped out about the schedule is four of the first six on the road, which is kind of a tough way to start. That hasn't happened for this team since 2009. And for those who don't remember the 2009 season, that was a 0-6 start capped by a 59-0 loss at New England.
Changing of the guard. That's when Vince Young, Bud ordered Vince Young to be the starter.
No.
That wasn't the year?
No, that was 2006.
That's right, yeah.
No, 2009 was that game in the snow. It was
horrible.
It was terrible. Vince did become the starter after that, but that was not his rookie year. That wasn't and Titans ultimately finished 8-8 in 2009, but when you're talking about going to Cleveland, playing at Jacksonville in a short week, playing at Atlanta, which should be pretty good, playing at Denver. I don't know that, but Denver's always a tough place to play, even if they're not the best version of the Broncos that we've seen. I mean, those are going to be. I mean, especially Cleveland in Week One with all the hype around that team, and I mean that's going to be a tough atmosphere too. So it'll be a little bit of a grind for the Titans to get to mid October and kind of see where they stand from there.
We get to see what the secondary looks like. What did you think about my quarterback analogy of why probably maybe we're not on TV? I don't know. But in comparison, when you're looking at the teams that we play, and I was doing the comparison of if Marcus is better than the other quarterbacks, and we only came up with maybe five teams, I guess, that he's better. I don't know if the Flacco deal is kind of coin toss as well as the Derek Carr. But what are your thoughts on that?
And it's the whole... I mean, it's the whole Marcus thing because, Marcus isn't a big personality. Like when you're talking about the NFL and the big names at quarterback right now, it's Baker Mayfield. Certainly Tom Brady's always going to be a big star. With Marcus, he doesn't. I mean, he's got a charisma that plays well in the locker room and plays well in the huddle. It doesn't play well on TV, really. Even though he does do some spectacular things in games, I get that he's not must see TV.
But on the other hand, he has played well against good teams. He's had some good moments on the big stage. The Chiefs playoff game a couple of years ago and all that. I think I don't think it's so much the quarterbacks. I think it's just the perception of the Titans. The year before, I think everybody sort of picked them as the go team, because of the year before, and they had a little bit of playoff success, reasoning that they might make, the next move, take the next step up, and they really didn't. Now, I don't think the NFL knows what to make of them. They're sort of in the mushy middle, of those teams that are regarded as anywhere from 7 wins to 10. A lot of times that doesn't get you on Monday night or Sunday night.
Yeah, Marcus is more of a Twitter quarterback. He'll do something spectacular that everybody wants to see that highlight, but he's not a guy that you think, "Oh, I got to watch every minute of this guy playing." I think if this team is going to be really good, it's going to be one of those years where they're not necessarily going to be the most exciting team to watch. I think it's going to be more running the ball. I think it's going to be controlling the clock. With passes to Delanie Walker and Adam Humphries, if that works well, some of the shorter throws and sort of be a little more methodical than some other teams in this league. It's not something that programmers are necessarily looking for right now.
Yet at the same time, the last few years, this has been a team that's played better against good teams than against bad or mediocre teams.
That's true.
Except for Jacksonville, so go figure.
Yeah. And of course, you have that Jacksonville Thursday night game, as always.
The obligatory,
like 5 of the last 6 years now, or 5 out of 6 years, that's going to be the case. I guess I guess the NFL Network said, well, if you're going to give it to us again, let's get it out of the way early this year. But
how about the goofy, playing Houston twice in 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. At the end. And that's the funny thing, to start with 4-6 on the road and you still end on the road, too, which that could be a really meaningful game. If, yep. Based on the way things went last year, if this year is similar at all, which that's rarely the case, let's be honest about that. But if it is similar, that could be a really big game, and you would you would prefer to have that here in Nashville. But that's you're going to open on the road, end on the road. You better take advantage of the home games in between along the way,
and be mindful that last year, Indy and Houston started out terrible.
Yeah.
Yet they found their way to the postseason.
Yeah, to me, if you're going for the first six on the road, you come out of that 3-3. I think you can feel good about where you are and go from there. You don't want to go 1-5 or 0-6 or anything like that, obviously. But yeah, we've seen it at the NFL. Bad start is not necessarily the end of the world.
7:42 the time, our friend David Beauclair in the house. We'll draft is a week from today. We'll ask David some about that when we come back, too. If you're looking for a way to put a little play in your day, play Lotto America, the $1 game with jackpots rich enough to make you rich enough. They have drawings every Wednesday and Saturday, so stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer and play today. The Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Time for Mark and a word about Wilson County Hyundai.
That's right, and our buddy Payne Bunn would tell you that Wilson County Hyundai, their selection is at its best, and the savings make each and every Hyundai a true value buy. So if you're shopping sports utilities, well, they'll have you spring and summer ready. The 2019 Santa Fe is their most advanced SUV ever. And with the Tucson and the all-new Kona, you can compare them side by side. You can compare the Elantra and Sonata. They're both value at its best. And if Hyundai makes it, Wilson County Hyundai has it. With America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty and Hyundai Assurance, Wilson County Hyundai, they're close. Right there in Lebanon, just 20 minutes east of the airport, exit 236 off Highway 40, and their family. And they look forward to seeing you in the showroom or shop online at WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Have a great Hyundai Day.
This is the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. 7:49 the time. Our friend David Beauclair from the Nashville Post in the house for this hour. You always find him here on Thursdays, and he's presented by the Tennessee Lottery as well. Proud to have raised more than $4.8 billion for education. Felt like we really got some important stuff done yesterday with our candy bar talk. David, do you have a Mount Rushmore of candy bars?
A Mount Rushmore of candy bars. Milky Way.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I like a good Milky
Most
Way.
Most important question of the day.
Yeah. $100,000 bar. Or I guess they're $100,000 nowadays. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Forgot about that one. Baby Ruth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to go old school, just plain old Hershey's chocolate bar.
Man, you can't go wrong with a plain old Hershey's chocolate bar.
Yeah,
exactly,
yeah.
Right.
Every now and then you get the almond one.
Yeah, I like the almond ones.
Hershey's, Pennsylvania is a good good little vacation spot for a family guy like yourself, Kevin.
I've actually been to Hershey one time. It was a long time ago.
The amusement park there, it's a beautiful little town toward the chocolate factory. It's worth doing if you've got...
That's on my son's bucket list.
Yeah.
It's where Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points.
Yes, you're right.
They play the state high school championships in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Wow. A lot of Pennsylvania knowledge, Keystone State knowledge.
Man, I didn't know so much. I didn't learn all that there when I was in Philly.
I know, it's just
crazy.
You could have
gotten out, driven the state, man. You could have.
Yeah, I did. I drove around.
It's about a 2-hour drive from Philly.
Yeah, I toured a lot of stuff, but not there.
driving an hour outside of Philadelphia, you're in Amish country. You could have picked up furniture and butter and all that.
Yeah, I just wanted to see the Rockies trophy, man. I mean, them at the top of the steps, man. I wanted this is it.
Yeah, when I was a kid, we used to take a field trip to the art museum like every year, and that was, the teachers finally gave it's like, okay, first thing, everybody go run up everybody go run the stairs, that, we get it out of the way.
And I live right across the street from there, so I could walk. Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
David, what'd you think of Derek Mason's hire going to Ensworth coach Jeremy Garrett? who leaves after a year after succeeding the man.
Mm. What, yeah. What is his role, too, by the way?
He's a defensive quality control assistant. And, you know, my first thought was, well, I wonder if Ricky's going to start coaching again, because Ricky Bowers, that would be a Ricky Bowers thing to do.
Late, you know, in the game too, kind of put him in a bind there.
It's a really interesting move from Vanderbilt's perspective, because I don't know how many people realize 2 years ago the NCAA passed a rule that you can't hire a high school coach or anyone associated with a specific prospect, like a parent or whatever, for 2 years before that kid signs or 2 years after that kid signs. So the last Vanderbilt player, or the last Ensworth player that Vanderbilt signed, was Donovan Sheffield in 2015.
Yeah, cornerback.
Mm-hmm. And so they're not going to be able to sign any Ensworth kids for 2 years now. Because,
well, what
because
this does give them is maybe a little bit more of an in with area coaches. So, you know, kind of a savvy move, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, and Vanderbilt's been making headway on the local front with recruits lately, and it's funny. It's like everything else with Derek Mason. It was rough at the start, and he keeps getting better as he goes, and he's obviously built these sorts of relationships, and you know, to where he has a relationship with Jeremy Garrett that he wants him on his staff. So. You know, hopefully, hopefully there's nobody, if you're Vanderbilt, you're saying, hope maybe there's nobody we want on Ensworth, or there's people we're willing to let go in the next 2 years. But I think that's, you know, that's sort of an overlooked thing in this move, that, you know, because Ensworth's putting out players every year. There's no question about that. They, you know, they're sending three from this year's team to Division I programs.
Do you think Rick Barnes took the right tact at the press conference a couple of days ago?
Honesty is always the right thing. I think if people say, God, he really, you know, he's a jerk because he really was thinking of going, well, yeah, he was serious about it. He wasn't just playing Tennessee for the money as some coaches would do. And he's comfortable coming back. I think being honest about how much he wanted the job, being honest about the fact that it was the buyout that kept him from going, you can believe him when he says, but I'm happy here and I'm happy to do this job.
Coaches don't always do that though.
Yeah.
And I can cite, you know, Nick Saban flirting with Texas a few years ago would not even address that subject when asked about it. And Barnes went as far as saying how close he came to leaving. And I thought that, yeah, that's interesting that he's that honest. But I always say sometimes honesty is overrated, because, you know, he could have alienated, you know, a part of his fan base by doing that. And he was unafraid.
I think this is what we've seen from Rick Barnes, though, too. Barnes is not a guy who wants to spend the time to work up a lie. I don't think, you know, like I don't think he wants to be bothered with that. For him, he's a guy that the truth and honesty is just easier. For, you know, some people are great liars, and some people have glossing over the facts, right? And have fun playing that game with the media and whatnot, and you know. Rick Barnes doesn't, and I always think that's the best. It's okay to say, you know, UCLA was interesting to me. It really was, and you know, but he's the Tennessee coach still. He's not gonna. I don't think he's gonna spend a lot of time second guessing himself this year. He looked at it, didn't work out. Okay,
the fans will though. Once they go 500 in the SEC, they will remind him.
Don't forget about stuff like that. David, on the way out, I know you guys will have quite a bit of draft coverage next week with a whole deal right down here 1 week from tonight.
Yeah, it's for me personally, it'll be business as usual. I'll be out at the Titans facility, but we'll have an extra hand or two, working downtown, and we'll do a little bit more on the draft than we typically would, but I'm just ready to do this. I'm tired of the commercials and things at this point. I don't think in years past I noticed the amount of draft commercials before the fact that it's here. I'm just thinking, okay, let's do this thing and let's see what that stage looks like and let's see how many people show up and, you know, all the discussions we've had. It feels like it's been a long time coming. Let's just do it.
David Beauclair, our guest from the Nashville Post, he is presented by the Tennessee Lottery. Stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer. Have a little fun with those instant games today.